Gracious Heavenly Father, again we give you praise and glory. As we come, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we thank you for this day once again, Lord, that we can have this privilege to sit under thy feet and in thy presence, Lord, to know of you and to know of your word. We thank you, Father, for all your love towards us. Once again, Lord, bless the breaking down of thy word now. And we pray, Father, Lord, to feed it to our hearts and our spiritual life, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let me sit again. Let's go to the book of Jude. Well, those good, here, a little book, small epistle, so to speak, or sometimes they just call it book. There are 66 books, but, you know, they don't look actually a book at all, but epistles and writing. Now, we talk about the faith that Jude talks about, or wrote about in verse 3, where he says, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needed for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, as I said, we can talk about faith, we can talk about our knowledge of the faith. But, as I said, there is a difference here between your knowledge of what you know of the scripture and as to what we should contend for in the faith. If you know more than somebody else, and that somebody else, being that he is learning and always continuing to learn, may not understand as much as you do, and if you insist that he should believe in what you believe, then that is not contending for the faith. Contending for the faith is something that we have in common and something that we can hold as a foundation, and that when we look at it, we can grow together in Christ Jesus, by which or by whom only we could receive revelation. And if we don't have the revelation that comes from the Lord Jesus, then there is no way that how could I understand what you understand? How I could see the thing that you see? It's impossible. So therefore now when we look at this contending for the faith, to have unity in the faith, to have unity in the faith, we must agree with what the word says. And we agree with the word, or what the word says, it is not agreeing with you or agreeing with me. It's agreeing with the word of God. We may have some little confliction in that, a little small little differences here and there, but as I said this before, if we, as Bernie would say, I would say that the brother said commonly, he said, when you take a chicken pie, eat the pie, eat the chicken, throw away the bones. When you eat cherry pie, when you come across the seed, throw away the seed. That's no problem. You know what I mean? But don't let it be a big issue that you fight over little things like that, that, you know, because we can't understand a certain thing. Now, here we see Jude, as I said last week, that this epistle to the background, where when Jude wrote this, he was writing some few years after Peter wrote his epistle. And the thing that Peter mentioned, or we will say prophesied in the way he wrote it, actually began to pass later on. And Jude saw this thing, and therefore he wrote this epistle to encourage the Christians. So as we go along, we understand this. Why that this little epistle says against those who are antagonistic against the faith that the saints of God had at that particular time. Verse 4, "For there are certain men," remember verse 3 says we should earnestly contend for the faith. Verse 4, "For there are certain men threatening unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here, you can see, he's mentioning about certain people that came in unaware, seeking to destroy the faith. You understand? That's why he talked about earnestly for the faith. Now remember again here that even as Jude wrote this, he didn't even call out names. But certainly there are certain ones that he would have known that are very antichrist by nature in their approach to the world. But he did not call out names in this epistle here. Why did he not call out names? He had the right to call out certain names if those false brethren or false prophets or false Christ that crept in unaware and are actually getting people away from the truth, he had the right to call their name. You understand? But here, Jude, I feel that he rather bring in a broad scope of certain kind of people that are involved, that are fighting against the faith that the saints had at that time. Like today. I mean, we don't call him a deal, all these people that, came into our fellowship, for example, or even, in fact, for that matter, in this entire message, particularly around the world, there are always some, well, you always see churches here and there, and you have some preacher that comes in, or some brethren that were sneaking, some so-called believer that were sneaking, and then begin to sow some discord and create some, a confusion by bringing certain teaching. And generally, that's what Jude would do, is kind of bring in the whole scope of certain kind of characters that comes in, which you can see later on in his epistle. But here you say, here, first of all, in verse 4, that these are ungodliness. Now, that means that these are really people who are very much against the faith. Men who are subverting the faith of the saints. Men who are after certain gains. You understand? So these are called ungodly men. Now, he didn't have to bring in certain names. After all, there must be quite a bunch of them, of different characters. Some come in because of future Luther's sake. Some maybe popularity, some have a rebellious spirit. You understand that? So you use the word ungodly men here. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only true God. Now, you know what lasciviousness is? It's evil thing. And turning the only true God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this last part here. Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the only place in the scripture that the word is not translated right. And a believer calls a Trinitarian could use this verse and say, you see, there is a Lord God and there is a Lord Jesus Christ. You have two Lords. Alright? Isn't that right? Yes, sir. And you find it in your King James Version. Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's a mistranslation for the first Lord. Because there's only one Lord. No matter how you look in the Bible, you can never find two Lords. Some people tend to tell me, oh, the Bible says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand. From the Lord said unto my Lord, if there are two Lords, there is no two Lords in the Bible. It's always one Lord only. So this Lord God in the Bible here, what was Lord God? It came from the Greek word, despotes, which means sovereign. Someone who's sovereign, someone who is a master. And there's only one. Huh? You understand that? Someone who's sovereign. So the sovereign God, say, the Bible will say now, denying the only sovereign God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? So it's different altogether way the Bible is written. So this is the only place where you find in one sentence, Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But you find another translation, I think in New King James or NIV or any other translation, you would have a better understanding on that. So this is to look at the Bible. You know, as I said, if someone comes around and
trying to prove to you that there's more than one person in the Bible by using this verse, which they can use. But as I said many times, if you don't look the actual translation, as I said, you have a Bible in your hand, whether it's King James, New King James, or whatever it is, it's a translation from the Hebrew, from the Greek. And no translation is that accurate. No matter how, it's never that accurate. They try to get the nearest and try to get a word for word translation, is that can. And sometimes you cannot actually fit word for word, you have to rearrange the sentences, because the way that a language is constructed is different from the way English is constructed, even just as much as the Chinese or the Malay. You understand, don't you? Like a certain language, they put the adjective before the noun, or some put the adjective after the noun. You know that, don't you? And so forth. Alright? And some would be like in the arcane English, sometimes they put the verb before the noun. Run I there, not I run there. You see the word is a vital, and how do you translate it is important. That's why you have italic in your Bible, so as to fill in the gap to make the sentence complete. Alright, now the word, second word, Lord, Jesus said, the word Lord in the Greek word is kurios. It's always translated Lord. Alright? I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Yeah. So now, Jude wrote to ask the people to contend earnestly for the faith. Because in the day that he wrote this, there were a lot of philosophical-minded people, people with ideas of Gnosticism, believe that the material things are evil, and things that are invisible, like the spirit world, they are good. And therefore, there are a lot of people, of course, they try to make themselves worthy of living in the other realm after their death, by, well, living an ascetic life like a monk or a Hindu mystic, you know what I mean? Stop eating anything that will destroy so much for, even like a Jain religion, Jainism. The people will cover themselves with a mask around the face and nose, they will not even breathe in, they will not kill an ant. They cover their mouth as they walk, because they say that the germs get into their mouth, they're killing the germs in their mouth. And all that kind of religion they have. And this you find it in India. You see. So, there are all kinds of religion that creep up as early as the early church age. And so, because of this, some of this philosophical teaching, ideals, of this certain type merged with some of the ideas among some of the believers at that time. And these are not true believers at all. But they came in and tried to sort of add to it. And as I said, today we have in Korea, in Seoul, we have this big church. Sun Myeon Moon or something, I can't remember how to pronounce his name. Sambun Singh. You know, he has the biggest church in the world. I don't know how many thousands of members in his congregation. And he has also other branches in other parts of the world, in Europe, in America also. And of course, he has added certain philosophy, ideas to his teaching. And very suddenly, he manipulate the mind of the people. And it has been, of course, reported and has been proved to be true by some people who exposed him, or members of the church who later on came out. And as you probably would have noticed, he even taught that the women in the church are not purified unless they sleep with him.
And this thing happens. And of course, it's too bad. You know, when you have a big church that's so popular, how does a cult buster bust it? Tendency is that people tend to recognize the cult as they use the term cult is when you exist in a very small group. You understand? Like the Jim Jones case, like the Derek Kores case. You understand that? Where children disappear from home and are brought to those asylums. You know? And people worship in a very secluded area away from the masses of people without letting them know. And after a while, this became known because some members ran away and they reported to authority. So, to the cult, I said, this is a cult. But today, some of these false churches are no longer cults because it become, well, you know, this big church in Korea, Universal Church of Righteousness or something like that now. Universal Unification Church. I think it was that name. You know, it has been with the charismatic movement. And people speak in tongues. So, how do you consider that a cult? It's very strange now. But of course, everything starts small. And as I said, charismatic starts small. Anybody can start a charismatic church. And in 10 years' time, you could have a number of 500 people. Very easy. And this is something which Jude in those days could see. How that this ungodly Mary comes in, the king could easily brainwash the minds of the saints. And you know one thing, as I said, the saints in the church, they need shepherds. Not everybody are learned people. In those days, yeah, they're not learned. They don't have the education that you have today. And in fact, many of us who have education today don't even bother to do much research. And you can see, of course, generally, people go to churches, they go home, they don't even really do a Bible study and search it out to see what the pastor is preaching about is true or not. So, literally, the sheep is in the hand of the shepherd. When the shepherd leads them, they go. Right? But you have to be wise, sheep. You have to be wise, sheep. Huh? We know that the sheep are dumb. They are being led to the slaughter, as the Bible says. But you are, God has given you an intellect, a spiritual intellect, an unction, an anointing for you to know, right from wrong, truth from error. If only you pay close attention to the Word. And always ask questions. As you read the Bible, as you hear something, ask yourself. Where does the Word take you? Where does the preaching of the Word take you to? Does it take you to the Word? Does it take you to Christ? Does it glorify the Lord? Is there any deviation that from Genesis to Revelation cover the whole picture, the whole perspective? This is something which you yourself need to be prayerfully discerning. The Word of God. Alright? So now Paul, you say, I would have put you in remembrance. Which is what the teaching of the Word of God is all about. Bring you to remembrance of the thing that you have learned. And Jude says, you know, how did the Lord, having saved the people out of the land in Egypt, afterward destroy them that believe not? Now, Jude speaks in a very strong, wrote in a very strong way. You know and I know that the children of Israel got out of Egypt. Now they were slaves in Egypt, and as you say, they were slaves, and their life will be a life of slavery until they die. And that's bondage. They were caught in a pagan country eating
their food. Perhaps worshipping some of their idols and completely have forgotten all that which their forefather had passed down to them of the one true God, Yahweh. So now when God led them out of Egypt, now they have seen all the miracles under the hand of Moses. And with a mighty hand they saw how God led them out of Egypt. What happened to them? Of this they are disbelieved. That's why they send the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroy them that believe not. Now, I mean, after all, the Jews were God's chosen people. I mean, did God chose the wrong people? They came out there in the world. I mean, they wouldn't believe. They murmur all the world, and then when they went out in the wilderness, what happened in the wilderness? They grumble for this, they grumble for that, and God provided them everything, and yet they continue. Now, Israel is very, very backslidden. But it comes to a time that backslidden is one thing. God can call you back. But it comes to a time that the people turn their ears to listen to Korah, Dathan. Huh? And when they turn their ear into gainsaying, rebellious, and that is what God hates. Hey, backslidden state is of various degrees. But you don't pray, it's backslidden state. You don't read the Bible, you are in a backslidden state also. You don't fellowship, you are backslidden state also. You are lazy to come to church, you are also in a backslidden state. You're not being a good witness of the gospel, you're also in the backslidden state. So far, these are all conditions. You understand? And if you have believed right, and have been born again of the Spirit of God, fully born again, you know, somewhere along the line of your backsliding condition, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, I don't know. God can still bring you back. As long as you don't deny the Lord. But to give heed to false teaching, there are some that turn around and say, oh, I don't believe in this message. This name of God. For Abraham is a false prophet. Huh? I don't believe in all these things about women must dress right and have their hair grow long and, you know, and the woman cannot put on makeup and cannot wear earrings and this and that. I don't believe in that. So you go back to the world, you go back to the denomination. You know what? It was just like fulfilling. Hebrews 6. After you have taste of the heavenly things, you turn around and spurn it, and you reject it. Huh? Yes, this truth is not easy to follow. And I said this many times, if you want a religion, take a charismatic. Take any other religion. But I want something that is biblical, that is a religion. Then you go for Pentecostal charismatic. You know. But if you want true faith, then you take the Bible. And Bible alone, Christ alone. Not something that gives you, well, you know, a peace of mind that, you know, I can worship God and do whatever I want. And if we know the Bible right, Paul said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm no longer my own. I'm bought with a price. And if you are purchased with a price, you are no longer yours. Is that right? Sure. How much is the dog in the window? Whoa, whoa. And the dog in the back and they say, buy me, buy me. And you purchase the dog in, the doggy became yours. He will always be very grateful to you. Right? And he throws a piece of wood. Fetch! Yes, master. You go fetch. And we are slaves to Christ. We are no longer our own. We are purchased with a price. And how can we say we do whatever we want? Master says to do right. Now I say, I don't want to. I want to do whatever I want. And you just come back to the master only because he has something to give it to you. That's not faithfulness. So, even as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And so it's for you. Whether you want to serve the Lord, or you want to have your own way. I will therefore, verse 6, and the angel, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he have reserved in everlasting chain unto judgment, under judgment, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth, for example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now it seems that a lot of people combine these two verses. They combine these two verses together, saying that whatever Sodom and Gomorrah, whatever happened there, those people, what they did, is exactly what the angel did. And therefore they are trying to imply that the angels who keep not their first estate are those which, according to them, were recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 6. You know? So when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and therefore they say the sons of God, they were angels. They left their first estate of being angels, came down and changed themselves to men, I don't know how, or as I say, they always do interpretation, either they transformed themselves into a man, physical man, and married natural woman, or they possessed human being, you know, but then if you possess human being, it's a different thing, isn't it? Huh? You understand? Possessing a human being is different. And you can't marry to somebody else. So they would have to give an explanation, and usually they come up with either one of these. Either they transform themselves into men and marry natural woman on earth, or they press themselves into men, press. They use the word press themselves in the sense as to possess. And therefore they produce giants. This is according to them. This is the interpretation. Why? Because he says in verse 6, in like manner. So in like manner, it means to say they reflect the same as what the angel did. Huh? That is full exegesis, so to speak. Let us break it down a little bit here. Now, that's, you know, one of the things about this. You can have a room of 100 theologians. They will always back and forth, argue back and forth, argue back and forth. The tendency is always like that. Okay. That's very natural. But how important it is this doctrine here? Whether angels become men and married women on this earth and produce giants, or that it was an angel passing into man to produce giants, or to say that it was a satyr marrying the Kenite. You understand? How important is this that you can start calling people's names? Do you understand what I mean? Now you listen to that message. A lot of people don't understand many things that we understand. And even to show it to them, they still will not be able to understand. But that's no big thing. We know what we know today because God opened our eyes and our mind to the Word. Now we know
that the sons of God, in the book of Genesis, mentioned that Cain and married the daughters of men, are the separate people. Right? Huh? But you know, even though there are people in this end time message that believe this, yet when you go into the book of Job, chapter 1 and chapter 2, if you'd like to go over it, go to the book of Job. Alright, the book of Job is just before the book of Psalms. And if you don't know where Psalms is, center of Bible is where some you find. Well, you read in chapter 1, in verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, when comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And then there, of course, is another similar verse in Job, chapter 2, verse 1. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also and present himself before the Lord. Now, I know our ministers, when they look into the book of Genesis, the sons of God, they say, they are separate. Got it? That marries the man of the Satan man married the woman, the Canaanite. Because the son of man married the daughters, the sons of God married the daughters of men, right? They know the sons of God in Genesis, they were separate. But over here, they said they're angels. Ministers in the message. How come over in Genesis they're the Hittites? And over here, the angels. Does that make any sense to you? Either the Bible is consistent or it's inconsistent. One woman is this, this woman is that. It is impossible. The interpretation is because they don't see it. They think that there was a day when the sons of God present themselves before the Lord. It seems to everybody the idea automatically jumps to heaven. The mind automatically jumps to heaven, the picture of heaven. God sits down the throne and all these angels stand before the Lord and present themselves there. Like, you know, like parade. Before the commander every morning or something like that, they must present themselves. The mind automatically goes up there. You know, when the Lord told me this, when there's a sons of God over there in Genesis, it was, they are what they call men. Same thing here has to be men. And where is the thing? Where did this thing take place? It didn't take place in heaven. It took place on the earth. It took place on the earth. In the day of Job. Now Job is one of his oldest books in fact to be written. Huh? You have all the patriarchs. I don't know when Job was after the flood. Supposed to be 1,000 something years after the flood that the book was written. I believe around that. And Job would be around that period of time. And there were already people who believed in God. Through the descendants of Abraham. There are people that believe in God. And so they have fellowship. Of course, there were not yet no tents, nothing. They don't have this tablet of Moses being bigger because that came so many years, so many thousand years after. Isn't that right? So many hundred years later. Isn't that right? You remember that? Yes. It came about, I think, about 400 years, 500 years after Abraham. That they have this tabernacle of Moses set up. But before that, where did Abraham worship? How does he worship? He worshiped God. Them, during his time, there are people scattered. 100 years, we will say maybe 40, 50 years after Abraham. Or 100 years after Abraham. Or maybe 200 years after Abraham. Those descendants of Abraham's line. They have fellowship. They don't fellowship like they have, like I say, in the tabernacle. They perhaps gather together like we do, sit together and discuss about. They don't have the books of the Bible that we have today. Now we do sit together on Friday evening and talk about the Lord and testify about the Lord. Gather together. Now here today we present ourselves before the Lord on Sunday. So in those days the sons of God are those believers. Are people who believe in God. Do you understand? Sons of God point to those that are His people. Are you sons of God? You are daughters of God too. We are sons and daughters of God. And daughters of men are those who are outside, those that are not. So it was the days of Job. Obviously somewhere Job was caught someplace before him or whatever. You know, that this book was written concerning the life of Job. I believe it should be written, recorded later on, after his experience took place. That when those that gather themselves as an assembly of people and a congregation of people before the Lord, that you know what? Shouldn't enter into it. Shouldn't come into a congregation, like even today. As I said, spirit goes to church. Demons go to churches. And you can sit down here, you know, under an anointing, and somebody could prophesy. And that could be a brother or a sister who could stand up and accuse somebody else. Yes. And so, yes, you know, that you read in the book of Job, it's not something in heaven. It's something that takes place on this earth. Huh? Because you're an idol. One of the things when they preach and interpret that this is in heaven, it tells me that they don't even understand. But you know why? Satan has no right to go to the third heaven. Huh? You know what the Bible said? I saw Satan has lightning come fall down from heaven. That is what he this said was gone. His place where he was taken away from him. Huh? And he was cast down to the ground. That tells you one of these that he'll be incarnate. But cast down to the ground means that he is no longer heaven bound. You understand? He's down here. And he has no right to enter heaven. Who are the angels that could present themselves before the Lord? They are those that took his side. Those ones that took the side of Satan, what happened to them? They fell from the estate, and when they fell from the estate, they have no access to heaven. You tell me, does the sinner have any access to heaven? As you have? Huh? Yes or no? Does the sinner have any access to the promise of God? They can't. The only way that you can have access to the promise of God, you must first come and be born in the family of God and take the inheritance. Am I not right? A man who is childless, he can take a child who doesn't belong to him, adopt him, then give access to his estate. Access to what belongs to the father, the foster father. Otherwise, as long as he's not adopted, he has no access to inheritance. That's why you see all the reports in the paper of, you know, people, you know, children fighting over the father's inheritance after he died, and then you have another wife, a mistress here, there are children, all these things. Wow, everybody wants to claim a piece of it. You see, you can't claim anything from God unless you are born into a family. Do you understand that? So, what do you read in the book of Job? It's not somewhere up there in heaven. It's somewhere down on this earth. So now, as I said, when we look into the Bible, it's not to look into this portion of Jude. People can argue, debate, but that is not a serious thing that take away our faith. I wouldn't fight a brother just because he believes that what happened in the book of Job chapter 1 is in heaven, I won't fight him. I won't run down his name. What's that do? Just because he doesn't see eye to eye with me? These are parables, as I said. These are not the theme of the Bible. The theme of the Bible is centered in Jesus Christ. And from that, when we focus on Christ the Word, then our vision can get bigger and bigger and bigger as we learn. Some learn fast, some learn slow. And I said this before, Brother Ernest Horton, when he came to the message, he could not believe 70. He can't see 70, but he believed. Brother Ben was a prophet of God to his generation with the message. But he takes him a few years down the road before he saw it. Does anybody fight him? And people who fought him at that time, he did, I can be a push. Huh? People are turning on the message. They are learning. Some could see things instantly. Some take 10 years to see. But don't try to force people to see eye to eye with you just because you see it. So now look at this here. The angel we kept not their first estate. You know what it means by first estate? The first position. The original position. Have not their own habitation, their dwelling place, that is to say, God has reserved in everlasting chain unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Now, as I said, those that believe that this angel pressed themselves into man and cohabitated with woman, or became man, transformed into man somehow, and cohabitated with woman, use verse 7 as a crutch to support this interpretation. Even they use the word, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, you see, and the city of God, that in like manner give themselves over to fornication. Going out the strange facts, I said, Paul, let me interpret something here. Let me use verse 6 here. Let me give you an interpretation to so that you can understand. If I were to use this phrase, the princess, I use plurality of prince, huh? The princess, who kept not their position, left their palace. Okay? Left their palace. That's what verse 6 would do, right? Because we take the word first as state is a position. Habitation is their dwelling place. So I say, the princes of the king, yes, so the sons. They left their position, alright? They kept not their position. They left the palace. Does it tell us anything else? Does it tell us anything else what they do? Think about it. Look at what he says in verse 6. And the angel who kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, God has reserved them. That's all that they say. Now, let me use verse 7 and continue what I said just now. The princes who kept not their position, left their palace, even as high-ranking officers or high-ranking soldiers, in like manner, give themselves over to rioting and drunkenness, raping. Now, this is verse 7, in continuation of verse 6. Does it mean that the princes who left their position, alright, who hold on to their first position, their original position, left the palace, is doing what the soldier did? Because in verse 7, I'm saying, even as the high-ranking soldiers, in like manner, give themselves over to rioting, drunkenness, raping. Does it mean that the princess did the same? The word in like manner is talking about that the people or a certain category of creature, creation, by the angel or the man in Sodom Gomorrah, in like manner means to say the same way. It means in the same way. They did not stay in their position. You see? They did not stay in their dwelling place. Now, the angels here, remember, They all have a position. Every angel has a position. You know that, don't you? Whether you be the archangel or angels or the seraphims or the cherubim, what else? You all have a position. But what happened to this angel mentioned here? They did not keep the position. They did not stay where they are and do what they are supposed to do. Every angel has a boundary of work. They don't cross over to somebody else's boundary, so to speak, and usurp authority. But in the rebellion in those days before the earth was created, some of these angels went beyond, not just rebelling against God. They go beyond that, usurping, killing, and stuff like that. And some portions of these angels, they have crossed to over, not keeping a position, but out of their position of control, their dwelling place, they must have done something real bad that God kept this portion of angels in Tartarus. They're not even loose on this earth. They're kept in Tartarus. Now, we do not know what it is. And so they cannot speculate. But this people that speculate is because, you see, not only that we bowed against God as a rather angel, but this one went beyond to marry woman. So because of that, they are kept in Tartarus. Now, first of all, you know and I know angels, they are sexless. Jesus quite clearly said it. Because there was this fellow sister, the Pharisee came in, or the scribe for the top Jesus Christ. No? He said, a man married a woman, and he, before he could have a child, he died. The second brother took over to continue the virginity for the first son, first brother. But he also died, and down the line to the feet. And the eyes just said, in the resurrection in heaven, whose wife is that? Who does he belong to? And what did Jesus say? He said, they are in heaven. There is no merit and given in marriage. Just, they are just like the angel. Brothers, when you go to heaven, Sister Lina is no longer your wife, you know. She is just a sister. But you know who she was to you on this earth. It's just like that. Same to you, huh? You understand? So the angel, there's no sex in the other world. The angels are sexless, they don't produce. If God intends them to produce, why don't he create female angels? Yes, some Roman Catholics always believe that there are female angels. Huh? There are no female angels. They are all male angels. And yet they are sexless, so to speak. They don't produce. Because what? They're in the spirit realm. You understand that? They're in the spiritual realm. This is a materialistic realm. Think that mystery doesn't last forever. You know that, don't you? There's no beginning. Don't say there's no beginning, but no end. Those are the end, they must come to an end. And God will have to stop it. That's the way when you finish out there and you have a new earth, in the eighth day, the earth will have been replenished. No more reproduction. You understand? This whole thing will burn away in the regeneration, yes. In 1,000 years of Christ's rule, yes, natural people continue. But once everything is passed through the word, see through the word, you enter into great eternal, the eighth day. There's no more reproduction. The earth will have been replenished. So the angels, how could they not? This order. Fiction on the mind, you know what I mean? The Bible is clear on what he says, and yet people were trying to find something. And they were trying to say, oh, you see, because Sodom and Gomorrah, those people who live in Sodom and Gomorrah and the city round about that, they give over to fornication, so the angel must be the same. No. What he says right over here in Sodom and Gomorrah, these people here, they give themselves over to fornication and after sin spread, and are set by example unto suffering the vengeance, they're going to find. You know what they did? They are human beings. Suppose you marry human, then marry animal. Or then marry a man. Woman marry woman, like what we see today. Homosexual. Man marry man. Woman marry woman. Or they even marry animals. This theory, you know what I mean? They did not keep their estate. Now, you are man, you're supposed to be man, right? So you change yourself and marry a man, you're not keeping your estate as a man. Do you understand this? It's what in like manner. They did not keep their position. That's right. And even some going to so far as to move away from their dwelling place as human being and when they live with animals. That's not their dwelling place. Do you understand? What is a family? A family is a man and a woman raising up children. A man with another man in the house, you call that the dwelling place, the original dwelling place that God created them for? No. That's sickening. That's something wrong with the mind. Man manipulated by demons. So anytime you move yourself from a first position, that's not contending for the faith. Your position, God has cut children Israel out of Egypt. They did not maintain their position. They did not maintain their faith. They moved it out and went to the same city of Korah. And they returned against God. When any time a man moves out his position and marry a man, they return against God. A woman marry a woman, they return against God. Israel. God has cut you as a man, cut you as a woman, and you are supposed to marry a woman. Not man, married man, or woman, married woman, or animals. You have moved out from your position. And you will rebel against the word of God. And therefore, the Bible says, you will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. That's the right manner. In right manner. Do you see now? Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, you see that? Defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignity. Do you know what is despise dominion, despise control? Speak evil of dignity. This is the only time the word here appears. What is dignity? Dignity. It's come from the Greek word, doxa. Doxa, doxology, you know? When you sing glory, holy glory, glory unto the Lord. D-O-X-A, doxa. Doxa is a Greek word for glory. So they say despise or speak evil of dignities. Some people say authorities. What authorities? It's not authorities of the government or authorities or anything. It's the authorities of the word of God and the man speaks the word. Doxa. They despise the prophet of God. Despise the work that the apostle and prophet taught. That's right. They have no fear for the glory of God's word that is transmitted to the church, to the servants of God. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring a reeling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked thee. You know, guys, I saw this charismatic movement now. They have all these healing evangelists and, this deliverance ministry that a lot of people have. That spring out of the charismatic, because you see in the days of the early 20th century when the Pentecostal outpouring was upon the church, those things don't happen. You have seen how those ministers, or how those early days evangelists would give a healing treat for the sick. But today the difference is so different. You know, God honors, Christ honors his name. And the devil fears him, no doubt about it. But some of the methods that were being done was extreme. They are extreme. How could you try to talk to the devil and bring a really accusation? You know what the really? Really means judgmental. You can say a lot of things against the devil, try to accuse him, and all really against him, this and that. You know who Satan is? He was once upon a time Lucifer, you know that? You don't know better than him. Why does the dignitaries of the world, the militaries of the world, this great important man in politics, in the circle of the world government, why when somebody who is a dictator did something evil, he ran someplace else, why did they give him respect? See? You know what they don't you? Give him asylum and protect him and give him that? Even though he might be an evil man. Because he holds a certain position. Whatever position they may be. You know Idi Amin died yesterday? You know who Idi Amin is? Some of you don't really know his name. Way back in the 60s and early 70s, he runs the country of Uganda. He's Muslim. Killed many, many Christians. Almost a million. They have no place to bury all these people. Idi Amin. They have even wanted to throw into a Nile River. It's also stood up. And he was given asylum in Saudi Arabia. And he died at age 84. Yes. A wicked man. And now, you want to rail against the Satan? Huh? You want to rail against Satan? Over something? Yeah. You want to say, you know, my angel, Michael. You know, our angel Michael wasn't as big as Lucifer, you know? Wasn't as big as Satan, you know? So don't want to come the body. He didn't go out there, you are, you know what I mean? To come and rail against him. Oh, no, even. He just says, the Lord rebuke you. That's enough. Some people say, Michael did not go up there and say, I rebuke you, you dumb angel, you fit angel, you. No. He didn't do that. I remember practically in this, after the Pentecostal early 50 years, followed by the charismatic, or you know, the louder they shout against the devil, they think the devil will run away. You all know that, don't you? You know how Brother Graham prayed? You know how T.R. Osborne prayed? You know how Eddie Allen prayed? They never raised the voice. It's so much different now. That's why you see, if you only look at the Bible, you say, you know, don't dare and run and rail the devil and try and call him all kinds of name and try to judge him all this thing. Michael even do it. Archangel Michael wasn't as high because Lucifer was the biggest of all the angels. They still respect in some way. Even if some, you know, our leader of our Singapore, you know, the leader of Singapore, if someone is crying and fall, I mean, we still respect him, right, for what he had done, for what he was elected for. And if God has created Lucifer in original to be what he was supposed to do, but he fell, still, he's still there. He was still what he was before, and still respect him for that much. How many of you respect Satan? And let me tell you one thing. The Bible says, don't sit where angels fear to tread. You know me? Huh? I'm not saying, you know, that I love Satan or anything like that. But don't try to cross the bow and act like you know your whole lot of you know a lot more than don't ask Angel Michael. So we're against him, we're against him. It's if you're doing no good. Satan may be just sitting somewhere behind you and laughing at you, you know. Because I think so foolish. All you have to do is if you have anything you want to, if there's a sickness, anything, that we know the demon can be around and causes this thing, whatever it is, spirits. It's the holy people in bondage, and we can just pray and say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. In the name of Jesus Christ, free. We resist you. But don't tell her, you know you are this and that. That's no way to talk. That's like you are trying to teach your child, you know. I'm your father, you must obey and all this. No. But this, speak evil of those things which they know not. And that's what happened, huh? Speak a lot of things they do not know, and they speak evil of all things, they do not know what they're saying. And what they know naturally as brute beasts in those things that corrupt themselves. Yeah, what they know naturally, but they have a brute beast. I know naturally, they know naturally they're human, they're man, but yet they go and lie with beasts. Or they corrupt themselves, you know, men bearing men, and so forth. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. You know what the way of Cain is? They're going away of Cain, and they run greedy after the arrow of Balaam for reward, and they perish in the gainsaying of rebellious nature, or rebellion of Korah. What is it? Well, you know the other two. What is the way of Cain? The way of Cain is pride because of self-righteousness. Nope, I don't want your offering, God. I go in my way. I go in my way. And God provides the way. There's no other way. There's no other way. So they've gone the way of Cain, and in self-righteousness, you know what happened? I don't know why self-righteousness and pride were always killed. When he spurned the gift of God, he went out there. Well, just like the Pharisees. The Sadducees, in the self-righteousness, what they did? They killed Jesus Christ. Put him to death. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you. Feeding themselves without fear. Plus, they are without water, care about a wing of wings. Trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice they pluck up by the roots. Now, these are spots in your feast of charity. Now, this feast of charity is a love feast. It's something like they do regularly, but these things are not done now. They just come together and sit together, have some mud in my potluck, you know, bring together, have some feast and eating together, share with the poor, those who do not have, those who have. And usually they do this when they gather to fellowship once in a while, and then after that, then they will break bread. You see, tearing one for another. And so, this sport, some words may say blemish. But it's actually the word spot comes from the Greek word that is, means hidden rocks. Hidden rocks. You know, when you are walking on or you're sailing in the ocean, a hidden rock you can't see. And these are dangerous things, you know, that they destroy. The things you're feeding themselves without fear. They come in with this kind of so-called love and charity, and then they manipulate. There are clouds without water. You know what clouds without water? Clouds must have water. And the clouds that have no water are usually very fine. And they are easily dispersed. Let us all be clouds of water. Because we want to be giving people a shower of blessings. But they are not. They are blown about with every wind. Alright? Tree whose fruit withers. A tree, the fruit dies. Blossom, fruit, suddenly it just dies. It doesn't mature. Not only that, after a while it doesn't bear fruit. Not only that, after a while they are dead. Not only that, finally somebody has to pull it out and throw it into a fire for firewood. Huh? So this is a progressive thing. Because in the first verse 7, they suffer an adventure on eternal fire. You see that? So what Jude is trying to talk about, first of all, there are trees. Fruit the wither, next, you don't have fruit, next, the tree is dead again, next, pulled out by the root and thrown into the fire. raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own chain. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the brightness of darkness forever. You know, raging waves of the sea. You know, ever go to a beach where you have rocky rocks near the beach? And this big wave comes, boom, you know, it's a lot of foam. You know, just, you know, they're just, they're angry. They speak, they vomit. Raging, they never calm. Always filled with something in their heart. Speak against such and such a person. Bring out certain words, accusations. They never at peace. Bring out your own ideas. Rebellious nature like Korah. Or gained or has a better for reward. Yes? Wandering stars. And I say one thing, you know, all stars have a fixed course to move. You are stars in heaven. Don't you remember that?
Yes.
We are all stars in heaven. Oh, Abraham, count the stars, you can. So shall thy descendant be. Oh, descendant is to who? Israel? No. Those that are true Israel. Those that are spiritual Israel. Huh? We are sons of Abraham. We are children of Abraham. We are stars fixed in heaven. And every star has a fixed course to move. The only star that don't move in the heaven as you see from earth is the North Star. And that's why Satan wants us to be like that. And every one of us has a position where we move. But it's a wandering star. You wander one moment, you know, falling star one moment, shooting star another. There's nowhere to go. Keeping your mouth off, falling down. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now this, verse 10, 11, 12, 13, if you go over to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 12, let's look at it. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 12. Alright? In fact, verse 12, you can read it from verse, actually, chapter 2 is what Peter talks about, the false prophets and false teachers. Can read from verse 9. The Lord knows how to deliver godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might, bring not many accusation against them before the Lord. And these as natural brute beasts, make to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that call it pleasure to riot in daytime, sport they are, and the blemishes sporting themselves with their own deceiving, while they feast with you, having eyes full of idolatry, and they cannot cease from sin, regarding unstable soul or heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, and so forth. You can write down the verse 15, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozo, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. What you know, this is what Peter prophesied out. And I think about 10 years later, is what Jude wrote his epistle. And things begin to really fulfill itself more and more. And that's what Jude repeats in a way to bring it true to what they see in that day. Verse 14, and Enoch also the servant from Adam prophesied of these things. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hot speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, as the last Friday, Jude wrote this, Enoch, servant from Adam, prophesy of this thing. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all. Where did Jude get this? Where did Jude get this? Did he read it in some books? Maybe the book of Enoch, which is considered to be authentic, but some people say, oh, it's only created by somebody, somebody just wrote it, you know. What did you get this? To know that in a prophecy. Where is it in the Bible that you read the book of Genesis? You don't. Or did you get it from Moses? The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 2. Huh? Did you get it from Moses? Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 2. Which says, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Well, if he got it from Moses, what did he say is needed? The reason for Moses. Correct him. Or maybe Moses wrote it the way he wrote it because he heard it. He knew with some go ahead then, you know, said it. Or prophesied of it. Now the question is this, I'm asking here. He has to say something. Did you find it over in the Old Testament? No. No. Huh? But if you were there, if you were living in the day there and you read this book, if you saw Jude, you must be like, many will write to Jude. Show me the Bible. Show me the Bible. You know what I mean? Like a brother of mine, give me the quote. What if I am saying when he said that? Let me tell you something about the scripture. As I say, many times Revelation comes. If it is consistent, it will prove, I mean, it's true. It will prove and consistent from Genesis to Revelation. Do you agree with that? It doesn't take away the truth. It will prove to be right. Huh? You know, the book of Enoch, what I have, a compilation of books, just good for reading, you know. And inside there is his secrets of Enoch. All what he has done, what he has prophesied, what he told his son about how he's going to be taken away and so forth. So, well, I believe that Enoch prophesied. He did. Because after all, he got taken away, are we today? We prophesied. Enoch left behind a legacy for the world to go through the flood. And when we go in the rapture, we leave a legacy behind. These are murmurers, complainers, working after their own lust, and their mouth speak great swelling words, having man's person in admiration because of advantage. Yeah, a lot of people like that. Say a lot of things, you know, criticize a lot of people, great swelling words, you know, big words, so that, you know, you will get a lot of people's admiration. Wow, look at him. Look at that, wow, he knew Brother Brennan, wow. Huh? A lot of people just want to tell you a lot of things that the Lord has done for you, and then they keep on repeating so many things. Every one of us have experience. And we have a testimony to tell, right? But perhaps our testimony to some are nothing. To some, hey, I live with the prophet, you know, I saw the light. I saw the pillar of fire, I saw this, I saw that. Well, everybody said, wow, what a privilege. He must know a whole lot more than I do. Look at Peter. Huh? Don't you think Peter knows a whole lot more? Well, compared to Paul, he came who Paul wasn't one of the original. 12, Peter shut his mouth. Huh? So, everybody have experience, everybody have their word in the Lord, but don't go for men's admiration. But beloved, remember ye the word which was spoken before the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mocker in the last. Now this is what Jude wrote concerning what the apostles said before him. How that they told you that there should be mockers in the last day, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. This be they who separate themselves, central, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, bring up yourself on your most holy faith, praying the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others say, Faith is here, pulling them out of the fire, hitting even the garment spotted by the flesh. There are certain things here as Jude closes. That's really verse 20. But if beloved, one, building up yourself on the most holy faith. That's number one. Two, pray in the Holy Ghost. Some people don't pray, really pray. They just say, thank you, Lord, for the food. Good night, Lord, and then go to sleep. I mean, we go to work in the morning, you get in the car, just walk in, you say, that's fine. But sometimes you must pray in the Holy Ghost. Spend a little time with the Lord. You understand? That's why you say, pray in the Holy Ghost, not just pray, pray in the Holy Ghost. And Peter, somewhere up here, say, watch and pray also when you want, you pray. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you also must watch. Okay, don't just pray like a Catholic prayer. Pray, you know? Just stick the beats and hear me full of beats and speak power. You know that, don't you? They do that in repetition of prayer. That's not prayer. Three, keep yourself in the love of God. Four, looking for the mercy of Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And five, and some people you must have compassion. Making a difference, you understand? Six, and others faith with fear, putting them out of the fire. Okay, that is to say, another, except for, you know, realize transcendence fear, you put them out of the fire. Seven, hating even the garments ordered by the flesh. That is, don't go the ways of the world and be like the world. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, to the only wise God, our Savior, the glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. To the only wise God, that is sovereign Yahweh, who is our Savior. Who is our Savior? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we know that Yahweh is our Savior through Jesus Christ that concerning the world back to himself. One sovereign God and one Lord. The Bible Paul said there is only one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless thy holy name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for truth. We pray, Father, that what we have again received from you, Lord, to understand the word. We pray that the ancient will guide us, keep us, Lord, in discerning of truth from error. We pray, Father, for your guiding hand in this life. Here we are this year, couple of a little journey, a little time down the road, we'll see the light of home. So we pray, Lord, as you continue to strengthen us in the faith, keep us, Lord, in thy word and walk in the light. As thou art in the light, Lord, and having fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from all sin. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for your love. We ask for a blessing today, in Jesus' name. Amen.